Warning, the Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Is an island entire of itself. Every man is a piece of the continent, a part of the main. If a clod be washed away by the sea, America is the less. Any man's death diminishes me, because I am involved in mankind, and therefore never send to know for whom the bell tolls. It tolls for thee.
This is a general court-martial, and we shall therefore dispense with unnecessary formalities. These men are charged with cowardice in the face of the enemy and will be tried for that offense. Mr. Prosecutor.
Call the accused, Private Farrow.
Mr. President.
Will the prosecutor question the witnesses without even reading the indictment?
Please don't take up the court's time with technicalities. The indictment is lengthy, and there's no point in reading it.
Well, the defense has a right to know the exact accusation.
The indictment is that the accused showed cowardice in the face of the enemy during the attack on the Ant Hill.
This is the Savage Nation. Today is a huge victory for freedom and for the truth. Lieutenant Colonel Chesani, who many of you contributed to his defense fund, is free at last. I was there from the beginning. I gave some of my own money, but you gave a lion's share of it. And a military judge just hours ago dismissed charges today against Lieutenant Colonel Chesani, who was given 19 years of his life to protect this nation. He is a man with five homeschooled children. He is a wonderful American, and he was persecuted by many, many different individuals who wanted to throw him under the bus and throw him to the wolves for political reasons. But we, the people, stood behind him. We stood up for him, and we won. And this is only the first step. Today we're going to talk about the fact that Mr. Chesani is free at last. I spoke with him this morning. He cannot speak to the audience at this time, but his attorney, Brian Rooney, who you have heard from before, will be with us today on the Savage Nation. It's amazing to me that this mad thing called the media has not covered one of the most important military stories of the entire war. But I am so proud of this audience. This audience, by the way, is responsible for the Dubai ports victory. You are responsible for the illegal amnesty victory. You are responsible now for the freedom of Colonel Chesani. You gave over $350,000 the last I checked of your own money. And believe me, you've got to understand that had it not been for this program and this audience, it's highly likely that Lieutenant Colonel Chesani would have been forgotten and buried by George Bush and company. Jack Murtha is the real villain here, in my opinion. Tim McGurk of Time Magazine is another villain, in my opinion. But the American media is the real villain for numerous reasons. I'd rather focus on the positive today. And I want to remind you that no man is an island. Entire of itself. I read to you from John Donne. You may have heard the phrase, no man is an island. Well, it came from John Donne. And you may have heard the phrase, for whom the bell tolls, it tolls for thee. That was the title of a great book by Ernest Hemingway, For Whom the Bell Tolls, but he got it from John Donne. All the great literature comes from previously great literature. And of course, today is a great story because it's about a great man, Lieutenant Colonel Chesani. We're going to hear more about him. If you donated money to free this American hero and you want to be heard from today, please call me at 1-800-449-8255. Again, the story is Chesani free at last. Savage was there from the beginning. Thank you, Savage Nation. If you want to read about it, you're going to have a lot of trouble to find the story except on michaelsavage.com. The story is Haditha counts against officer dismissed, but that's not the whole story. The whole story will be told today on the Savage Nation. Let's go to the callers here on the Savage Nation. Eddie in Houston, Texas, how do you feel today? Welcome to the program.
Texas. Michael,
Michael.
Yes, go ahead. Yes, yes, go ahead. Go ahead, go ahead.
I just want to say thank you. You're a voice crying in the wilderness, and I want to thank you, and God bless you, and that other
Well,
voice
it's not me. It's Colonel Chesani. I mean, he's the one liberated today from George Bush's persecution, from Jack Murtha's persecution, from Time Magazine's persecution, from being ignored by all of the great media hounds who claim to be conservatives. They let this man twist in the wind. Thanks for the call. Tony, Sacramento, welcome. What's on your mind? Go ahead, please.
Congratulations, Dr. Savage. Another victory for you and the Savage Nation. Let us make you president so we could take our country back. You can only do it.
I don't want to be president. I want to be president of the Savage Nation, and I want to be able to do things as like this. I don't know that a man could do more in any position than I could do on this radio show. You know, it's one individual at a time that we got to work for, my friend. And if you contributed to Chesani, I'd like you to call this show. That's who I want to hear from. Maureen, New York. Maureen, welcome to the Savage Nation. Did you contribute? How do you feel today?
I feel like God doesn't forget anybody.
Okay, so did you send money to that defense fund way back when?
You know, I didn't have much. I had $6. And you and I are both psychics. I've always thought someday our voices would touch on the phone. And
isn't
you mean
that
a lot?
Nice? Well, no, don't go away. I'm not going to blow you off. Now, what do you mean we're both psychics?
You and I are precognitive. Sometimes I'll be...
Well, I believe some people have intuition, but this case was so important for the military itself, Maureen. It had nothing to do with me. It has to do with the fact that you cannot persecute Marine officers on false charges and expect young men to want to join the Marines. What happened here is that young men will understand that eventually the people will back them. We, the people, back the Marines here. The government turned on them. That's the point, Maureen. The government that uses the Marines for their oil war turns on them and throws them to the wolves and says to them, drop dead, we'll persecute you to show the Iraqi murderers that we're on their side. I wasn't going to sit on the sidelines for this.
Should you, nor should any of us.
Well, thank you. $6 is a lot of money when you think about it. Here's an audience of 8 to 10 million. Can you imagine what $6 times 10 million would be? That would be $60 million. How come Obama can raise that every month? How come Obama can raise $80, $50, $60 million a month? Where is it coming from? Tell me where that money's coming from. You think it's coming from the American people? I don't. Chicago, Maury, welcome. You're on the Savage Nation.
Michael, I gave a couple hundred dollars to Colonel Chesani because he deserved it and because it made me feel better to be able to do something like that for once.
Bingo. Let me tell you, Maury, today when I heard about this morning, like a light went on in my head. And today at lunch, you know, I went over to Subway and I bought a hero sandwich. I bought the 6-inch hero sandwich for $3.99. Not that I couldn't afford the 12-incher for $4.99, but I only wanted the 3-incher. And I was walking around the beautiful streets of the city, mixing in with the young people, you know, buying lunch and walking in the streets of San Francisco eating the sandwich. And I heard bells ringing. I don't know if they were really ringing or I heard them in my head, but I heard church bells ringing. And I said, my God, I helped free a man who, was it not for this show and for men like Maury and all the hundreds of others or thousands of others who gave money for his defense, this man would have gone away for 10 to 20 years. Do you know that, Maury?
Michael, it makes me feel terrible to think about that, and I'm glad that we were able to take a small part in it.
But you did play a part in it. That's what I'm saying. Sometimes we've got to take pleasure in small victories when we are denied the large victories of saving our nation from these gangsters. We can at least have the small victories of saving the innocent from the guilty. Thank you for calling. Remember, we stopped the appointment of Harriet Myers to the Supreme Court. She was George Bush's personal attorney in Texas. We knew she was a nonentity. We raised the alarm bells. She didn't get appointed. When the folks from Dubai wanted to take over the ports of America to take the security of our ports over and buy out the port security, I said no. You said no. Our emails, our faxes stopped it. Believe me, there are those in the media who wrapped themselves in the flag, who I don't have to name, who are in favor of the Dubai ports takeover. They're in favor of amnesty, and yet they get away with calling themselves conservatives. I don't want to even focus on them. Today, I am happy. I am so happy that Colonel Chesani, who, by the way, I wanted him on the show, and he had promised me that when he was liberated, he would be on the show. He cannot be on the show today because there's a slight caveat to this celebration. And that caveat will be described to you on the Savage Nation at 34 minutes after the hour. He's not 100% out of the woods. You know that his defense cost approximately $1 million. Do you know what the government spent to burn this man? You'll die when you hear it. The government spared no expense to persecute and prosecute Colonel Chesani. The government spent $1 million of your money to build a media center to hold this man up on trial and to continue to lie about what he had not done. They spent $1 million just on a media center and an estimated $36 million prosecuting him. Did you hear that? When it comes to persecuting and prosecuting innocent men, the government will spare no expense. When it comes to protecting the American people, they are suddenly out to lunch. But where is John McCain? You know where John McCain is today? He bragged to Hillary supporters that he voted to confirm Ruth Bader Ginsburg and Mr. Breyer, two of the most liberal members of the Supreme Court. Here is a sarcophagus of a man, John McCain, who has given the middle finger to his own base, the core conservatives, and is courting Hillary voters. I have never seen anything as stupid in my life. I want to ask again, if you've given money for Colonel Chesani's defense, or you picketed for other Marines outside the Marine base in San Diego, this half hour is for you. Lynn, in San Diego, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please. Lynn, are you on the show? Hey, go ahead.
This is a great day, Michael. I was down at Camp Pendleton picketing, and there were trucks all over that had Michael Savage all over the place. There were hundreds of people down there. This is a good day for America, especially for Colonel Chesani. How do you say his name?
Chesani.
Yes.
You know, he gave 19 years of his life to this country. He fought in three wars, and this is what they did to him. You know, he was not even at Haditha. He was a commander in the rear lines, and they claim he did not report it properly. It was a total lie, a total and absolute lie. Now, when we have the lawyer for Mr. Chesani on in a few minutes on the show, I'm going to ask him if we can go after Jack Murtha. What's the likelihood of seeing this man go to jail for what he did or paying a huge penalty? I also want to know how we can get after Tim McGurk from Time Magazine and Time Magazine itself for the slanderous actions that I think they committed. I want them to understand there's a price to be paid for this kind of persecution. And I also want to remind you that although we have won this victory, it's not over yet. It is not yet over because they're holding something over Colonel Chesani's head that I will disclose to you the minute I return right here on the Savage Nation. Be here.
Savage.
Celebrating homosexual marriage, as I told you yesterday, the real heroes are being ignored. Heroes like Lieutenant Colonel Chesani and his plight and what the government tried to do to him. And the victory is yours. This is, you got to understand that if you sent $10 or $100 or $200 to his defense fund, you won. You're part of history. You're part of defending the defenders. Don't you understand that? That there's something real here? That a human being could have been sent away for a crime he didn't commit? And that's why I read to you, no man is an island entire of itself. Every man is a piece of the continent, a part of the main. If a clod be washed away by the sea, America is the less. And listen to this. Any man's death diminishes me because I am involved in mankind, and therefore never sent to know for whom the bell tolls, it tolls for thee. And that is why I'm in favor of the death penalty, because some men deserve to die. And when they do die, it's a victory for all of us, when the truly evil are put to death. But when the innocent die, or the innocent are put to death, or the innocent are put behind the bars, then a piece of you dies or is put behind the bars. Yesterday when that infant was beaten to death, and I reported on that up in Sonoma, it's because no man should sit idly by while an infant is beaten to death. And no man should not back a police officer who through his training could shoot that animal who was beating the child to death with one shot through the forehead. And no man should sit idly by while the vermin in the media accused the police of killing an innocent man instead of saluting the police for having killed that killer. And no man should sit idly by while one of our Marines is unjustly accused by Jack Murtha, that villain. Listen to what John Murtha did. Congressman Jack Murtha is the man who persecuted Chesani with the big lie, and hold it for a minute. And he did so in order to be appointed by Nancy Pelosi to the head of the Senate the Congressional Appropriations Committee to rake in the money. It's a disgusting story. And I don't think it ends today. Listen to what Murtha said at the time that started this persecution of Chesani. Listen.
An IED exploded. It killed one Marine. And then a taxi drives up. When a taxi comes up, there's four or five people in it. And they shoot those four or five people unarmed. And then they go on a rampage throughout the houses and kill people. One woman, as I understand it, in talking to the officials in the Marine Corps, was bending over a child pleading for mercy. And they shot her in cold blood.
Liar, liar, pants on fire. And you, as a former Marine, should be ashamed of yourself, Jack Murtha. You should be ashamed of yourself because this morning, Military Judge Colonel Stephen Folsom, U.S. Marine Corps, dismissed all charges against Lieutenant Colonel Chesani, who you tried to burn. And they dismissed these charges on the grounds of unlawful command influence. And the judge blistered the prosecution's case in an opinion he read from the bench that lasted one full hour. Murtha, if I were you, I would be apologizing as fast as I can. I would be apologizing as fast as I can for what you did to Lieutenant Colonel Chesani. Shame on you. Shame on anybody who ever voted for you. Shame on you. Michigan, Charles, you're up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Mike, how are you? I just wanted to say I've been in the military for 7 years. I'm out now. But I want to personally thank the Savage Nation because that is a victory to know that there are people out there that stand behind the military people out there. And
amen. And that's what I said to Colonel Chesani when he said, thank you for being – he said, thank you for being in my corner, he said, Dr. Savage. I said, listen to me. Colonel, thank you for defending me. Thank you for being in our corner when we needed you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I said, I didn't really do very much. I used the microphone to help you because you were falsely accused. But thank you. I understand that. Now, the government spent unlimited amounts of your money to persecute innocent Marines. How did they get away with this? Who made this decision? Who was behind this? That's what we have a right to know. This should result in a congressional investigation. The persecution of Lieutenant Colonel Chesani and the other Marines in the false Haditha case is worthy of a congressional investigation, in my humble opinion. I want to find out who was behind this. Why did George Bush stand on the sidelines and let this persecution go on? When George Bush, as commander-in-chief, as I told you over and over again, could have stopped this at any point. He could have stepped in and stopped it. When I come back, the lawyer for Colonel Chesani right here on the Savage Nation. You're not going to want to miss it. You'll hear all about it right here. Military judge dismisses all charges in Haditha killings. It's a day of freedom for Colonel Chesani and his wife, Alyssa Chesani, and his five children. It's a great day for America to see that we still have the semblances of a democracy left where the people can get engaged and enraged and can do something to stop an overbearing government from roasting an innocent man. But this is only the first step. Joining us right now is Brian Rooney, one of the chief lawyer for Colonel Chesani. He was a judge advocate officer who served two tours of duty in Iraq. Brian Rooney, welcome to the Savage Nation. What a great day it is, sir.
Thanks for having me, Dr. Savage.
Well, it must be a great relief for you, eh?
It is. It's a great relief for the whole defense team and Thomas More Law Center. We just want to thank you on behalf of the Law Center and the Chesanis for all the support you and your listeners have given us and the prayers that have come because of the support you've given us.
Now, we know that this was a false case from the get-go. Right out of the starting gate, this was made up by a Time magazine reporter named Tim McGurk, in my estimation. Isn't that how this started?
It did. It started from propagandists in Iraq, known propagandists, Iraqis that have spent time in Abu Ghraib, that planted stories that Tim McGurk picked up upon and printed without any other viewpoint, without him doing much fact-checking at all. And then Congressman Murtha picked up upon it in the midterm elections in 2006, called the Marines cold-blooded murderers, and that the officers like Colonel Chesani covered it up.
Okay, so here we go. What's going to happen to Tim McGurk and Murtha and Time magazine, if anything?
Well, we're definitely, once we're completely out of the woods with Colonel Chesani, we're definitely going to look into suing him for libel and defamation.
Oh, can a sitting congressman be sued for libel and defamation?
It's hard, but you can do it. If he leaves his realm of speaking about, you know, from the congressman's point of view and start talking outside of that realm, then he can be sued for libel and defamation.
Is there any precedent for a news person who for having been sued in America and lost for this kind of defamation? In England, it would be an easy case, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would be a difficult case, but we're definitely going to look into that.
Well, we want to help you with that, too, so that this doesn't happen again. Let us talk about Colonel Chesani himself. What's his next step? Is he going to resign from the military as a result of this?
Well, he put in his resignation request over a year ago, and it's been held up by the military pending the outcome of this case. Now, it remains to be seen if they're going to let him retire, considering the fact that we're not 100% out of the woods. But, you know, as soon as this case is completely over with, he expects to be allowed to retire, receive his retirement benefits, and then him and his wife and six kids will be allowed to get on with their lives.
Well, first of all, I want you to disclose to the Savage Nation what you mean by he's not out of the woods, because that's pretty tricky here. What does that mean?
Well, the military judge dismissed the case and all charges against Colonel Chesani, but he did so without prejudice, meaning that the government could bring the charges back from the very beginning. You know, we've been in the court-martial process since December of 2006, so essentially they would have to start from the very beginning, over 2 years' worth of litigation, and go through this whole rigmarole again. They could also appeal the judge's ruling today, and they have 72 hours to do that. So we'll know by Friday if they're going to appeal it. And if they don't...
Why would they do it? Why would they do it when they know there's no evidence against the colonel? Why would they even do that?
That's a good question. You know, sometimes when you're involved in these cases, you get too close to them that you can't see the forest for the trees. And
don't they understand what this has done to the morale of the Marine Corps? Don't they see the damage they've done to the Marine Corps itself?
There's no doubt about its affected recruiting. You know, how can you have your sons or daughters join the Marine Corps when you're not sure that their government will protect them, when you have insurgents accusing them of war crimes? And then they're brought back and put in front of court martials. And you've had the original eight Marines charged. Seven have been exonerated, acquitted, or had the charges dismissed. So, you know, at some point you have to have some buddy in the chain of command, whether it's civilian or a general, saying enough's enough.
Well, we've said enough is enough, and if God forbid they should do this to him, I'll raise the clarion on this show. I tell you, we'll bring 1,000 people outside Camp Pendleton until this is stopped. We've got to find out who is doing this. Who is behind the persecution of Chesani in particular? Why him? Is it because he's a devout Christian and he's a homeschooler?
It's a good question why this has lasted as long as it has. Clearly, the facts are not what Tim McGurk posited them to be, or Congressman Murtha saying that this was a massacre. This was the massacre that wasn't. You know, you've mentioned on your show in the past about historical references of military members being thrown under the bus for political reasons. And these charges have been politically inspired from the very beginning. And, you know, to overcome that, you need people of courage. And today, Colonel Folsom did help in that, the military judge.
Okay, well, I guess that's just as far as you want to go, but I'm quite curious as to why it's Colonel Chesani who was chosen and not somebody else. I mean, he is known to be in the military, isn't he, amongst his peers, as a devout Christian? Don't you think, or do you think that could be a reason?
Well, it's definitely known he doesn't hide his Christian beliefs. He homeschools his kids. It is very curious that he was the only high-ranking officer charged when you had so many others in the chain of command that knew exactly what Colonel Chesani knew and reported what he knew, all the way up to a 3-4-star level of a general. So,
well, Chesani was the highest-ranking officer to face combat-related court-martial, a combat-related court-martial since the Vietnam War. This is a major case. The media is ignoring it. Why are they ignoring this case?
Well, they didn't ignore it when they were calling it a massacre and comparing it to My Lai. It was on the front pages of the New York Times and Wall Street.
Oh, I see. Then it was of interest to them. In other words, when they could smear the Marine Corps, it was a case. When it turns out it was all BS, it's not a case. Is that it?
That is it, and you can't find it in the pages of the New York Times today or Washington Post. It's if it even is, it might be in the AP back on page 26.
Well, they're busy covering homosexual marriage. You know how important that is to them. Now, this is important to me to say. When Colonel Cesani retires, do you have any idea what he might do with his life?
You know, we don't know. He hasn't expressed that to us. He's been completely focused on his own defense and taking care of his family while they've been put in this whole limbo. You know, he wanted to do 30 years in the Marine Corps. He served already over 20. He's been in three times in Iraq, Second Battle of Fallujah, Panama, First Persian Gulf War. So this is a Marine that the Marine Corps, it's a devastating blow to the Marine Corps and junior officers enlisted that they won't be able to get his knowledge in counterinsurgency and how to fight these kinds of terrorists that we're facing in Iraq, all for political purposes.
Unbelievable to me, but he won't be the last one to walk away from this. Well, I made a commitment before on this show that when this was over, and I hope it's over, that I would do a couple of different things for the colonel, and I'm not going to repeat them now other than to say this. When this is over, I would like to establish a scholarship fund for his children because they were denied a mother and father for a couple of years because of the vicious lies and slander of Time magazine, in my opinion, and Colonel, and Jack Murtha. I would like to see these children taken care of, and I hope that maybe you and the Thomas More Law Center can, you know, help Cesani figure out how to do set up a 501c3 or flow it through you with a fund that goes right to the kids' education. I know I can raise a lot of money for them. I don't want a dime of it, not 10 cents of it, because he himself has suffered enough. And, you know, this is going to take a toll on the man emotionally, psychologically. I can't imagine what it's done to him, but I don't even want to dwell on it. But I just know that this kind of thing can really weigh on a person and really make them think about their whole life. And so whatever he might have wanted to do after his retirement, I'm sure he'll do anyway. But a lot of his strength has probably been sucked by this case, and consequently income has been taken from the children. And so I want to make this commitment on the Savage Nation to help, and I hope that the Thomas More Law Center would consider setting up some kind of fund for that.
Well, that is a great commitment to make, and of course the Thomas More Law Center would do whatever we need to do to help you effectuate that.
Now, what can we, the listeners, do today, Brian Rooney? We know that most of it looks good, but what do we do today? Do we sit and wait for 72 hours to see what's coming next?
Well, no, I don't believe so. You know, right now decisions are being made in back offices at very high levels, I wouldn't doubt the highest levels, about what to do with Lieutenant Colonel Cesani now that the chase has been dismissed. And, you know, there's no doubt that people's expressing their desire, what they want to happen, and I'm talking about your listeners, can help effectuate, you know, the outcome of this case. It no longer is necessarily within the court-martial realm. It's now in the realm of public interest. And it's in the public interest and your listeners' interest that this case be completely...
Well, who can they email or write to make sure that they don't persecute him any further?
Well, I can tell you they can, you know, it's not a small thing to write your congressman and your senator and your letters to the editor and various military commanders like the commandant and others to tell them that, you know, they don't want the charges refiled in this case because, for instance, we had two senators and a congressman write a letter to the commandant about a month ago saying that they were concerned about the unlawful command influence in this case. And
oh, really?
And we hope that, you know, now these same senators and congressmen, and hopefully others will join them and write another letter to the commandant.
Who, can we ask who the senators and congressmen were who put their neck out?
Congressman Kingston was one, and I can't remember exactly where he's from, and Senator Coburn was another from Oklahoma, I believe.
Right.
The third senator I can't remember off the top of my head, but
God bless him. You know, that's I'm surprised any senator came to bat for him, given the state of the world today. But again, I'm sure you want to thank the audience, as I have, and I would like to leave it as an open invitation to you and the Thomas More Law Center to come back in 72 hours or come back at another time. Also, when the colonel can speak, I hope he'll come to the show first to meet the audience. And also, I would like to again reiterate, this is not lip service. I'm going to set up a scholarship fund. I'll start it by giving a significant donation of my own money. I know that my family will give money, and then maybe the listeners will follow with that because, you know, he who saves a single life, it is as though he has saved the entire world. And if we can't start by saving the men who are saving us from Islamo-fascism, who should we save?
Well, your listeners and you have been unbelievably generous and loyal to Colonel Chesani and the Thomas More Law Center. And, of course, when this is over completely, Colonel Chesani will be the very first interview with you. Be with you, Dr. Savage.
Well, what's important is that he come up to San Francisco with his wife and six children and take me up on my offer for a vacation because I want to take him out to dinner and introduce him to a few very important friends who would like to contribute to the security of his children, because that's what we're going to do. It's not just going to be food. It's going to be something way beyond that with just a very small group of people. Again, now, Brian Rooney, before you go, not again, you were a judge advocate in Iraq. Didn't you serve two tours of duty yourself?
I served one tour in Iraq during the Second Battle of Fallujah and the Battle of Najaf. I actually served with Colonel Chesani in the Second Battle of Fallujah.
Well, I was amazed today to see that there were four attorneys who helped work on this case in his defense. That's pretty amazing. How many prosecutors were there? How many men were on their team?
Well, they had 65 NCIS agents, Naval Criminal Investigative Agents. They had...
What? They had 65 NCIS agents who had nothing better to do?
This was the largest investigation in NCIS history.
What? I don't believe this. See, then historically, this case is far more important than even I believe it is.
This is the most important military case since Vietnam, if not, you know, before. There's no doubt about
so,
it.
So somebody up there wanted to get Chesani, and for reasons I don't understand, Murtha himself, a former Marine, was the man who brought the charges. Why did he do this? Did he do it, in your opinion, as I suspect, to get the notice of Nancy Pelosi so he would be made the head of the Congressional Military Appropriations Committee?
In my opinion, it's clear that it was done during the election cycle. It was done to bolster himself in the, you know, party. He was vying for a leadership position, and if he had to throw some Marines under the bus to do so, you know, that was the cost of power for him.
It's ugly. It's so ugly. It's beyond comprehension. But again, I was playing clips from the movie Paths of Glory because there is precedent for this kind of disgusting behavior. How he gets away with it is no surprise to me, given that the media is in the pocket of the Democrat Party. Shouldn't the Republicans say something today? Shouldn't McCain say something today?
Well, I would think all politicians, especially politicians that have military records, should say something about this case, that, you know, our Marines should be given the benefit of the doubt when they're on the battlefield, and they're the ones that have to make the decision whether or not to pull the trigger in horrible, very complex environments. When you have an enemy that's using women and children as human shields, you should always give the benefit of the doubt to the Marine or the soldier, and you should never bring him back and put him in front of a court-martial.
Well, you said it very succinctly, and Brian Rooney, again, it's a great day for the truth and for yourself. I'm sure you are breathing a sigh of relief, but you won't let go until 72 hours are up, which will be what, Friday at 5 o'clock?
It's Friday, actually, at 10 a.m. Pacific time. They have till then to give notice to us.
All right. Well, I hope that I don't hear from you on Friday. again, hopefully one day we'll lift the glass together along with Colonel Chesani, but I know the Savage Nation feels a small part of this victory today.
Well, they're a big part of the victory. You and your listeners have incredibly helped Colonel Chesani's family and the Thomas More Law Center to give us not only the prayers and resources to get through it, but, you know, this case, as you said, we had four attorneys on the case, two other Thomas More Law Center attorneys, and for a small nonprofit organization like the Law Center, it really taxed us quite a bit, and because of you and your listeners, we were able to defend Colonel Chesani in the proper way he deserved.
Amen. God bless, and thank you very, very much for doing the right thing. This is the Savage Nation. We're going to go to the wonderful people who sponsor the program, and I'll be right back.
Savage.
do. It's amazing to me the power of the media when it really wants to do something good, as opposed to spread pollution and pornography. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. Charges dropped in Editha trial. Now, the story was just linked up off from the BBC, and it's such a smear, it's unbelievable. What do you expect from the BBC? Listen to this article. It says, U.S. military judge has dropped charges against a Marine officer accused of failing to investigate the 05 killing of 24 Iraqi civilians in Editha. Lieutenant Colonel Jeffrey Chassani, 44, was the highest-ranking soldier who had been accused of involvement in the incident. Prosecutors said that U.S. Marines indiscriminately killed 24 unarmed Iraqis, including women and children. Now, you read on to the down in the article, and here's where it gets really ugly. The U.S. military at first reported that the Iraqis had been killed by that explosion or in a subsequent gunfight with insurgents. Now, here it comes. But Iraqi witnesses said the U.S. troops shot dead five unarmed men in a car when they approached the scene of the bombing in a taxi. The troops were then accused of killing 19 other civilians, another lie. Despite the accusations, there was no full U.S. investigation into what happened until January of 06. Listen now. When video footage emerged of the aftermath shot by a local human rights activist. You know who that human rights activist was? An Iraqi insurgent using Time magazine to crucify the Marine Corps. And who picked up on this? None other than the former Marine, Jack Murtha, who for greedy, piggish purposes, in order to get the attention of Nancy Pelosi and the fair-minded, compassionate Democrats, came to their attention as a man they could do business with. See, Pelosi figured that if a Marine like Murtha would turn on his own men, as he did, and make up lies about them, throw them under the bus, so to speak, why, there's a man the Democrats could really work with. And so he was rewarded, and Murtha was made the chairman of the House Military Appropriations Subcommittee, and then he became the biggest recipient of earmarks in American history. It does not get uglier than this. Make it a movie.
Savage. Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
This case speaks for itself. All of us witnessed the regrettable attack yesterday morning.
And I submit that that attack was a stain on the flag of France. A blot on the honor of every man, woman, and child in the French nation. I ask this court to find the accused guilty.
Now, that is a clip from the movie Paths of Glory, but it's eerily reminiscent of the false accusations against our Marines in the so-called Haditha case, which, of course, was invented by the insurgents themselves, using Time magazine, in my estimation, to smear our Marines. And, of course, they had a good friend in Jack Murtha who picked up the lie, ran with it to Nancy Pelosi, got brownie points for smearing the Marines, and was rewarded. Today, of course, if you've been listening to this show, a U.S. military judge just dropped charges against Lieutenant Colonel Chassani, who was falsely accused of failing to investigate the 05 killing of 24 Iraqi civilians in Haditha. Now, many of you contributed to his defense fund, as did I, and we're talking about that today. We learned today that the government spared no expense to persecute and prosecute the colonel. They used 65, let me repeat, 65 investigators from the Naval Intelligence Services, 65 individuals who should be ashamed of themselves for the rest of their lives for joining in this gigantic rape of the colonel. And unlimited funds were spent. They built gallows at Camp Pendleton. When I say gallows in advance of the trial, I mean a media center. The government spent $1 million of your money to build a media center to continue to put out the lies about these men. And they spent, I read, $36 million prosecuting this case. And you contributed hundreds of thousands of dollars to the defense of Colonel Chassani. Today you are vindicated. Now, the story was finally just picked up by the BBC, the British Bolshevik Club, of course, again distorting the story, hoping to smear our fighting men. But I want to again say take comfort if you sent money to that fund because you won today. You won something. You did something good and noble. And even if for a few minutes you walk around feeling that you did something good, breathe that in. In a world where it's so hard to do something good and feel it, you should know you did something good and you should feel it. Now I'm going to take the callers for a few minutes here on the Savage Nation, starting in San Francisco. James on KNEW, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Thanks, Mike. I've been following this case, obviously, since day one, and I've been anxiously awaiting the email updates from Thomas More Law Center all week long. And it's kind of disappointing to see that we still have to wait another 72 hours to find out if this thing is finally going to go away. And honestly, considering the rats, the prosecutors, specifically NCIS, they suppressed over 15 minutes of footage from the Predator drones that would have exonerated every single Marine, and how people could live with themselves and how they could call themselves a member of our armed forces. It just boggles the mind. I think from top.
So they suppressed 15 minutes of video at the trial of the Predator drone showing what actually happened down there?
They clipped 15 to 17 minutes down into 4 minutes to make the Marines look as bad as possible and put them in the worst light.
Oh, my God.
These people should be court-martialed.
Well, who did? Why do you think, James? James, did you contribute money to the defense fund?
Absolutely. Not as much as, of course, I would.
But, all right, no, I understand. No, I forget about how much. How much doesn't matter to me. So it means you're deeply engaged in this emotionally, as am I. Why do you suppose the government wanted to burn Chassani and others? What was in it for the Bush administration, for example, to continue this persecution? Why was Bush doing this?
Well, I'm not really sure exactly, but I think a lot of times it comes down to people in the military. Some people join for their own personal agendas, and it's not necessarily for service as much as personal glory, advancement into becoming a five-star general, moving up the ranks.
Yeah, but why wouldn't President Bush have stopped this if he knew the truth? Wouldn't you assume the commander-in-chief would have understood what damage it's done to the recruitment, for example, and the morale of the Marine Corps? Here's a man who gets up every other day and cries over the injuries and deaths in Iraq. Surely he must know that this was a lie. Why didn't he come out and say, wait a minute, this has to stop? Why was Bush doing this?
I wish I knew. I mean, as much heat as he's taken over this Iraq war, you'd think at some point he could stand up and say, look, I'm going to stand.
All right, there's a question for the Savage Nation, James, and thank you. Why did Bush do this? Why did Bush not stand up as commander-in-chief and say, drop these charges, it's false? That's what I'd like to know. Wisconsin, Todd, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, thank you, sir. Hey, I'm really upset about this whole deal. I mean, without your website, we wouldn't know about Chassani's deal. We wouldn't know about McCain. McCain should have been walking out that building with Chassani. He should not be going after these, telling how these liberal appointees, how great he was in there. He should have been next to
him. Can you believe what McCain did today, yesterday, rather? I have the story on my website that he actually is boasting he voted for Ruth Bader Ginsburg and Souter, two of the most liberal members of the Supreme Court. He's trying to appeal to Hillary backers while giving us the middle finger.
Unbelievable. Without your website, we don't even know this. I mean, I would have had to wait till 5 o'clock today. Thank God I keep checking your website. That shows everything. And people got to realize that. You're the only one showing the news stories, what's really going out there. I mean, you compare it to everybody else, it's just the same old. Without you, we've got nothing.
Yeah, all they're talking about is homosexual marriage, Obama this, Michelle Obama that, the same garbage. Now, did you hear the first hour by any chance with did you hear what he said? This is the biggest case since Vietnam. This is of major importance to the American people and to the media, and yet it's not even being reported.
It's unbelievable. cool. I mean, you can turn on Fox News, CNN. No one's got it. The only website that even had it on today, I checked.
I know. Why would Fox not have it?
Nothing.
They have a new pretty face with Rouge on. Why didn't she cover it today? Why didn't the new Rouge face cover it?
Get it. I don't get it. Without you, we've got
why?
Nothing.
Because Beltway people are all the same. They're followers. They're not leaders. And they ask each other, what's the important story? And then they make believe that those are the important stories. Well, anyway, look, I got my own job to do here, and I do the best I can. Newspapers are dying. My website is booming. Media figures are falling like the rain was falling up in the Midwest. And this show is growing. And the reason is simple. The reason is because of callers like the last one who understand that in a time like this, especially in times like this, this show becomes the last link to what's really going on. And that's what makes me get up in the morning. When I heard this morning, I truthfully felt a glow come over me that I haven't felt in 20 years. I have not felt as good in 20 years. I don't mean I was ecstatic. I felt a warmth come over me. And all of the homilies that I had learned as a little boy, you know, do unto when you do for others, you get it back in return. That small glow came over me that I did something good for somebody else, and I actually benefited from it inside. I don't mean in ratings. I don't mean in listenership. I felt good. It's hard to feel good in such a dirty world as the one we live in. It's hard to feel good in a world as low as this one. And so I did feel good for those moments, and I'm doing this today. Because I want you, if you gave money, to feel good. That's what I want you to understand. It's not only good for you, it's good for America, it's good for the Marine Corps, it's good for the recruitment, it's good for all of the fighting men out there who understand that we, the people, will back them when we find out what kind of persecutions are going on. I did an earlier interview today that's related to this, and that was with a reporter who broke the story on veterans being used to test drugs without their knowledge. That's correct. Veterans are being used as guinea pigs by the Veterans Administration itself. And that's why I'm going to play that story in a few minutes here on the Savage Nation. I want to direct you again to the story, charges dropped in a Aditha trial on michaelsavage.com, if you don't know what we're talking about. The next big case is Savage versus C-A-I-R. Again, if you want to help me, you want to help freedom of speech, do it today. Do it today. And I'll be back right after this interview to take your calls right here on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
You know, our veterans sacrifice so much for our country and our freedom, especially those who serve and have served in times of war. Well, we found out about a story where the government is testing drugs with severe side effects, such as psychosis and suicidal behavior, on hundreds of military veterans using small cash payments to attract patients into medical experiments that often target distressed soldiers returning from Iraq and Afghanistan. Can you believe this? Audrey Hudson broke the story for the Washington Times and joins us now to give us some details. Audrey Hudson, welcome back to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. Thanks for having me on today.
What the heck is going on here?
Well, what we found out is that the Veterans Affairs is continuing to conduct drug testing on veterans, but they're targeting, in specific, those who have post-traumatic stress disorder. And they're giving, at least 25 studies that we reviewed, they're giving them psychotropic drugs that, as you know, does not work well when you're already mentally disabled or mentally impaired with PTSD. And the one case that we focused on was a veteran from Iraq who had recovered from his PTSD. These symptoms, and till he joined one of the VA's studies that tested the drug, the smoking cessation drug called Chantix. Anyway, so James Elliott, this veteran, he took Chantix for a couple of weeks. He had a total relapse into PTSD. He started hallucinating. His nightmares returned. He was seeing, you know, any stranger on the street he thought was rigged with a bomb. He thought, you know, strange cars were rigged with IEDs. And finally, after being on this drug for a couple of months, suffered a terrible mental breakdown. The police were called to his house. They ended up tasering him to subdue him because he was armed with a loaded weapon.
No.
And it turns out they believe that it was the Chantix that caused the breakdown, he and his fiance do, because they say he had recovered from his PTSD symptoms for years. And it coincided with him taking this drug. He has quit taking the drug, and he's doing much better now. And he's not getting his health care from the VA. He's getting private health care.
Who is targeting these veterans?
The VA conducts clinical trials on their veterans. The trials that we looked at, like I said, were PTSD trials, ostensibly to find ways to help them to treat the symptoms or treat the disease, if you will. A lot of it is behavioral. They have a clinical trial using yoga. But we also had 25 trials that are using drugs specifically for PTSD to see if it could be used as a cure for PTSD. Now, I'll give you an example of another study we looked at that uses virtual reality. You know, the mask, they put it down in front of their face, and they show them scenes of war in Iraq, and they also introduce smells and sounds into the room. And while they're doing that, they inject them with a drug designed to reduce fear.
What?
Now, on the one hand, yeah, that could be used to treat PTSD, but then there's got to be concerns of what that drug could be used for later on down the line.
Well, why would our vets put themselves through this insanity?
Well, a lot of the veterans will do the studies because they get money out of it. In this case, the veteran James Elliott was going to get $30 a month for 2 years. That adds up. Some veterans told him that they will sign up for the studies and they'll take the money, but they don't dare take the medicines that are given to them. But in this case, there is a financial incentive. And there's also, you know, there is a lofty goal behind this. They do want to find cures for PTSD and to better serve their veterans. And in the case of the smoking cessation, they wanted to help their veterans stop smoking.
When did the VA find out about the side effects of this anti-smoking drug, and when were the patients first notified?
The VA told us that they were aware of the first FDA warning on November 20th. There was an FDA alert, rather, that there were concerns about the use of the drug Chantix and that it was linked to psychotic behavior and suicidal tendencies and actual suicides. The drug company Pfizer in January issued their own warning label that these side effects were possible, and the FDA again on February 1st issued what was to be the third, I guess, red flag that there could be a problem with this drug. But it wasn't until February 29th that our veteran James Elliott received his letter warning of these serious side effects. And by that time, it had been 3 weeks after he'd had his mental break.
Well, why did it take so long?
Bureaucratic problems. They say they started the conference calls as soon as they got the FDA warnings. They say that they drafted the letters that needed to go out, but that it has to go through an institutional review board at each clinic. And the VA says they put it through the process as quickly as they can. They say that they were concerned and they tried to address those concerns quickly, but it's a bureaucracy. And in the end it took 3 months and it was too late for one veteran.
This is unbelievable. It's like they're treating our vets in these studies like lab rats instead of people.
That's what our veteran James Elliott said. He said he felt like he was being used as a lab rat or a disposable hero.
Are there going to be changes made here?
Well, so far the reaction we've gotten out of the White House is they're just trashing the report and defending that they, want to help the veterans. And no one's questioning. No one's saying that the administration is out to hurt veterans. That's not what the story is about. The problem is that they are targeting veterans with this mental disorder, PTSD, to be used in these clinical trials, and they're giving them psychotropic drugs, and there needs to be more clarity in the beginning. The veterans need to be given plenty of warning of what this drug can possibly do. And when there are FDA alerts in the middle of a drug trial, the bioethicist that we interviewed said they've got to move the message faster. If there are serious warnings, they've got to find a way to get it quicker to the veterans who are involved.
Well, it seems to me they could have had a greater sense of urgency in giving the warning.
Well, a top-down review of the process, at the very least, I think would be in order, and how they're alerting their veterans to any new changes or warnings on the drugs that they're being given in a study.
Audrey Hudson, thanks for being on the Savage Nation.
Thanks, Michael.
You know, people are trying to silence Michael Savage. That's me. I need your help. It's a big battle, a legal battle. The opposition has unlimited funds. I don't. Will you please go to michaelsavage.com, contribute $5, $10, $1,000, $10,000. You'll notice that you can contribute to the Legal Defense Fund under a new address. The mail goes to the Michael Savage. That's if a check, a money order, cash. Michael Savage Legal Fund, 4 Embarcadero Center, 39th floor, San Francisco 94111. Thank you for helping protect freedom of speech.
Savage.
What a great day for the American people to see that we can take on an evil government and win. I mean, what do you want to call this? What do you want to call this? You have an overbearing, oppressive government that will even take its war heroes, active combat war heroes, and burn them alive. Put them away, put them on ice forever for profit. It sickens me. It sickens me, and all I want to say is thank God, thank God, thank God for freedom of speech. Thank God for talk radio. Thank God for the blessings of this microphone, and thank God most importantly for the Savage Nation, for all the money you sent, all the emails you sent on behalf of Colonel Chassani, who was exonerated today. But this is really only the beginning. Stay tuned, because we don't know what's coming yet on Friday. I can guarantee you, as I sit here, I can guarantee you the pressure's coming down from Murtha and others to keep this going against them, because the last thing Murtha wants is a total exoneration of this man, because he knows what he did. He, of all people, knows what he did. And the smart thing for Murtha to do would be to apologize to Chassani, and maybe then it would go away. It's not my case. It's up to Brian Rooney and the Thomas More Law Center. I'm not the lawyer, after all. I'm only a talk show host. Maybe if he apologized and say, I was mistaken, I'm sorry, is there anything I could do for the family? Maybe then it would go away. But if he won't do that, if he's being advised to try to continue to burn Colonel Chassani, I am telling you that the Thomas More Law Center will go after Murtha, Time Magazine, Tim McGurk, as sure as I'm sitting here. Tony, welcome to the Savage Nation. What do you think today?
Hi, Michael. Thank you very much. What do I think? I think it's about time that justice prevailed. It's unfortunate that we're in a situation where hearsay from the enemy is now taken as the gospel, and to bring forth charges against a man that should never have been brought forth in the first place.
Yeah, I agree with you. But look, you know from the beginning, Tony, as a friend of mine, that I saw what was going on here, and I could not let it happen. If we would let this happened to a U.S. Marine who fought for us in three wars. God in heaven, how can we live in a country like this?
Michael, without I can assure you, without your intervention, this man would have been probably put in jail. This is what Murtha wanted. They wanted to smear a good man. And thank God for you and the people that helped him with the help of God, that the man's been exonerated. It is unfortunate that this situation even occurred in the first place. But this is what we have to deal with.
Tony, you're in the military. You're a doctor in the military. Have you heard this case discussed by anybody in any of your meanderings about the military?
Yes, we were. It was the most demoralizing thing you could possibly happen. Everybody's walking around thinking, do I have to have a lawyer with me on the battlefield? Must I be related to a lawyer? Do I have to have legal confidant before I pull the trigger? And it's gotten me crazy.
Well, Tony, let me ask you something. Why do you think George Bush let it get this far?
I can't speak for the president. I cannot speak for him at all.
We both voted for him. We both voted for him, although tepidly. Why would he let this go on?
I think this man has other problems that we don't know about. I mean, it has to be one of confusion, because this was not a complicated case. This was a very straightforward military action with proffered false information that anybody at any level could have seen that was a false thing. But this man can't
right.
see it.
Well, Tony, I'll tell you what. When Colonel Chassani takes me up on my offer to come up to San Francisco with his lovely wife and six children, and I take him to dinner, I'm inviting you, Tony. You're coming to that dinner.
It would be my pleasure. I want to shake his hand. As you can see,
so
I'm emotionally moved by this today. Most of the members that I know in the military are emotionally moved. Finally, justice has been served to a good man.
Well, thank you, Tony. Thanks for being on the Savage Nation. No, I'm exhausted from this. In a strange way, I have the exact opposite emotions of what I should be having. I'm exhausted from it. I feel like laying down and going to sleep for a day. I feel as though we've pushed a boulder up a giant mountain, and finally that boulder has fallen over the other side. And I'm tired. I'm frankly tired. There's only so many battles in any man's life. And although these battles are nothing compared to facing the enemy with an AK-47 or a mortar or an IED, in my world, it's still a battle. That's all I can tell you. Kansas, Kathy, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Dr. Savage, you do more good than you know. I was calling to say that I had the privilege of contributing in a very tiny way to Lieutenant Colonel Chisani's defense fund. And I have to say that when you were asking before why were these people doing such terrible things as they were doing, unthinkable things, really, to me, that's pretty clear. I mean, that's all about evil, you know. They do
when
it.
Let's be clear what who we're talking about. Which people do you refer to when you say doing evil things? You mean the 65 NCIS investigators? You mean the Marine prosecutor? You mean the Time magazine? You mean Jack Murtha? Who are you referring to, them?
All of the above, and anybody who participated in bringing such a wrongful case. To me, the more wonderful question, because of the wonderful answer, is why do these men, knowing what they know, Lieutenant Colonel Chisani and all the rest of the Marines who see what goes on every day, where they're second-guessed into oblivion, why do they continue to put on the uniform and put themselves at risk of life and limb? And the answer, I think, is what you said earlier about how you feel today as a result of being part of something good. Who can pay for that? No one can pay for it. And mm-hmm. I think I spoke to a Marine today just in passing. I saw his insignia on his car. And as I always do since 9/11, I stopped and I wanted to thank him for his service. I got an email last night from the Thomas More Law Center. I have the honor to be of counsel, although they've never tapped me. I don't know if they'll need my particular kind of expertise, but I get their email. So I saw that it had been dismissed, and I spoke of it to this gentleman who was a Marine, and I said, why do you do it? You know, how can you bear to do that? And he said, I'll tell you, ma'am, he said, there's nothing anybody can give you that will ever compensate you as much as being a member of the Marines or serving with the people you serve. And he said, it's really quite simple. He said, when you love something very much, you don't really count the cost. And I said to this gentleman, I said, you know something? Men like yourselves and like Lieutenant Colonel Chisani, you know, when they die, they're going to be mourned. They're going to be missed. These other people, God help them, Murtha and Pelosi and all of these horrible people, when they go, you know, I guess it'll be on the news, but that doesn't make any difference. They're not going to be mourned.
I know. It's the same thing going back to the other newsman who kicked the bucket last week. What did he actually give the world?
Yeah, I mean,
did he ever do anything for anybody that we know of other than glorify his own ego? I mean, the truth is, this media, the media that we're talking about, that I'm part of, has the power to change things. It's the power to save America or the power to destroy America. But it comes down to the power to save one man, and that's what this is all about today. One man. You start with one innocent man who was falsely accused, and you work from there. Sometimes you can't save the whole world, Kathy. In fact, you can't save the whole world. You can't save a whole nation. But you can save a single man. And in so doing, maybe you save the entire nation from a disaster. Thank you very much for the call. Wisconsin, Bill, you're next up on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind today?
Yes, in this case, I think the president had to let things go. And the court actually has done its job. In fact, I think we can be proud of the fact that officers looked at this and this judge has...
Are you crazy? You know, I mean, come on. Aren't you embarrassed by what you just said? George Bush, as commander-in-chief, could have stopped this persecution at any step of the way. How could you sit there and say he couldn't have done anything?
Well, I'm a 28-year veteran. I was a colonel in Special Forces, and I've seen and been involved in court-martials. I've not been court-martialed. I've had to deal with rules of engagement. I've had to deal with killing and other things, losing people. If we don't invigorate the court system at the level where you've got to apply it, then we actually punt the ball, and the big guys then make the choice. Then the next president, who might be of a different party, makes decisions similarly to interfere in military matters.
Well, let's say you've been there and you've done that and you know more about it than I do. Then why was Colonel Chisani picked out instead of the man above him? Why was he the one in the chain of command picked as the fall guy? Do you have any opinion on that?
I have an opinion on that. It's a political thing, and I think someone that's weaker than him sacrificed him up the chain. But I can't be sure of that, and I wouldn't level that charge without a proper investigation. But I've seen these things before.
Okay, then do you think that that Jack Murtha has any culpability here?
I do.
You do?
As a person who considers himself currently serving or former Marine, I believe he was a former Marine at the time he leveled those charges. He should have understood that he was getting into an area that was almost like undue command influence, and he brought his political influence to bear, and he tried to tread on both things, his congressional bona fides as well as that of being a Marine combat veteran and a retired colonel himself. It was shameful. It probably is what alerted, and possibly doing some things behind the scenes actually resulted in the actions that brought Chesani to where he is. Now, the good thing is that people like you and me and others have stood up for Chesani, but we need a system that works, and we need it to work at the level that it needs to work. President Bush.
Yes, but would this system have worked had there not been such publicity as I and others generated and the money that we generated? Why would the government have spent so many millions of dollars? Why would they have built a $1 million PR center? Why did they do these things? This was a show trial. I think you'd have to agree with me. This was a show trial that would have made Stalin proud.
I think you're correct. Within the civil service, in the various departments of the military, as well as at other government departments, there are people who don't share the same values that, say, you and I do in this matter. And they are political operatives, unfortunately, and it may be those people who were behind it, but I can't be sure of that. It's something that we need to look for, and perhaps we'll find out. But in this case...
All right. Well, you know, you raise a point that's interesting. I don't happen to agree with you 100% when you say that the system proved it works. It only worked because of the money that we were able to bring to the support of this, and that the Thomas More Law Center took on his case. So this guy would have been, you know, thrown away for years. And you know they were threatening to strip him of his pension after 19 years of military service, Bill?
I do, Michael, and I can tell you in my own past what I've been threatened with myself. Now, when I say the system, I don't mean the military system.
I'm sorry, your cell phone broke up. It's not that I didn't want to continue the dialogue. I did. Well, I'm taking a deep breath today, and I told you I made a commitment that we're going to continue to support the colonel. I have committed it to a scholarship fund for his children, not because I have to, but because I want to. How do you like that? I don't know if he'll accept the offer, but I'm going to do it. Not only for myself and my family, but I know the listeners would love to do it. And we're going to try to help one Marine at a time, one soldier at a time, falsely accused, because they're going up against not only the Islamo-fascist anti-human enemy, but they're going up against a vicious, vicious yellow-bellied media that has taken the side of the enemy and a callous, cynical political system that cares not a whit for the fighting men of this country. Cincinnati, Ohio. Debbie, welcome to the Savage Nation.
No, Michael, you're really stealing some of my thunder. I do believe that President Bush could have stopped this long ago. I believe that this was done to placate the liberal media, the fifth column in our country. We're living in very troubling times, and this is very, very sad.
But right. I believe that that's why Bush did not intervene, because anybody could have seen that this was a false set of false charges. Colonel Chesani was not even there. He reported all of this up the chain of command and all the way up to General Mattis, who, by the way, General Mattis, who was rewarded for throwing Colonel Chesani to the wolves, incidentally. I hate to say it, but it seems to me General Mattis was rewarded by higher-ups and moved to a much higher position in NATO.
Don't you think that this Bush could have used this to try to prove, in order, I guess I want to say, to prove to the liberals, to the fifth column, see, I really am a part of you. I'm not the conservative that you've made me.
Well, he could have said yes. Yeah, you guys in Time magazine want to burn a Marine, and I'm with you on this. Yeah, I could see that. To show he's fair-minded, take this poor innocent man who served this country and throw him to the wolves. I mean, I guess Colonel Chesani didn't have the opportunity to land on a carrier and say, mission accomplished. He just accomplished his missions without any fanfare, Debbie.
That's right. I agree.
Anyway, look, you know, we can all say a lot of things, and I thank you. Jay, Las Vegas, you're next up. How do you feel today?
Well, actually, I gave also, even though it was a small portion, to the Chesani Fund off your website. Thank you, Michael Savage. I even told other Marines about it that are still current. I'm a former Marine. You know, and they went and supported him, too, and supported... And there's more
good.
There.
Good. Well, that's it. That's the network, Jay. It's a small network, but a powerful network. And maybe we'll all have to call on each other again for the next situation, if God forbid it happens to another Marine. There is one other guy, by the way, still hanging in the wind. And he is going to face a trial. All the other seven of them have been found innocent. You know that.
Yes, I do know that. And I just want to let you know that that Special Forces guy, you know, I doubt that he is because of some of the things that he said, you know, being out in the field. You know, with the Marine Corps, I know the Army is maybe a little different, but I know the Special Forces. I went with scouts in the Army before, and they're pretty integrous. And the way he sounded in his language, it didn't sound like a Special Forces.
Whatever. I'm not going to second guess him, but I don't think it's a great example of how the system really worked. I think it's an example of how the system tried to kill an innocent man. But look, Jay, don't you take satisfaction in knowing that a simple radio show that is ignored and dismissed by the major media could have such a profound impact in this country?
Yes, and I thank you for, you know, as much as you can, call the spades as a spade. I know that, you know, really you count on the listeners to really call the spades as a spade as well. And I see what's going on with our government. I see what's going on with the media. And I see what's going on with the communist climate that's forecasting. I'm praying as myself and everything else to see, you know, that there's going to be a change. There'll be a chance to keep ourselves.
Well, God willing, there'll be a change, but it won't be Barack Hussein Obama, Karl Marx. Thanks for the call. Before I take this break, I must refer to a big story that came out in the Wall Street Journal. I've just got to get my hands on it. I read it last night with some degree of alarm and satisfaction. The article is about oil. It says, Russia outflanks EU's pipeline plan. Seeking new source of gas, Europe meets a Kremlin blitz. And it says, during the Cold War, the balance of power was measured in nuclear warheads. Now a new kind of contest is playing out. The battlefield is Europe's energy market. The objective is pipeline proliferation, and Russia is winning. And it's all about pumping gas, natural gas, and oil from Azerbaijan and across the Caspian Sea. A bell went off in my head. 1999, November 30th, Michael Savage, the oily tracks running through Kosovo. And I wrote this. I wrote then in 1999, Kosovo was about oil and nothing but oil, with maybe some uranium thrown in, and a dash of Wag the Dog. And you thought it was to save the poor Kosovar Albanians. Ladies and gentlemen, the reason Serbia was attacked by Bill Clinton is because of big oil. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Freedom is ringing today. Of course, the major media doesn't want you to know that an innocent man has been freed. They only were there when they were happy to, pile on with false accusations, the vermin in the media. Because they're the ones who did this to Colonel Chesani and the Marine Corps. They're the ones who did it. Don't make any mistake about that. Illinois, Chuck, you're next up. What's on your mind today? Chuck, are you there? Go ahead, please. Welcome to the Savage. Yes, quickly, please.
Yeah, okay, they want to abolish the Marine Corps. Rumsfeld and Bush, they want to cut them out of it. They just reformed in 50 as a separate entity, you know, a separate department. They want to abolish it. They want to have a cost savings factor, you know, where it's all.
No, if they really want to abolish the Marine Corps, which I've heard inklings of, and roll them into the Army, there's another reason for it. There's only one element of the military that has not yet been caponized and rolled over into some kind of corporate little ball like a European army, and that is the U.S. Marine Corps. The elites are afraid of a coup. The elites are afraid that if they try to do something even more dastardly than they've already done, there's just liable to be a military intervention in this country, and the only element it could come from would be the Marine Corps. And that's why they're persecuting men like Chesani. I'm not accusing him of being a conspirator in any way, don't get me wrong. But they damn well know, the elites damn well know, that patriots in the U.S. Marines probably wouldn't stand for outright treason, which is what they're very close to committing. That would be my guess here, my friend. It's chilling to think that we're witnessing the decimation of the U.S. Marines, and I pray you're wrong about that. I hope it's something as simple as them trying to cut costs. In either case, today you should celebrate, particularly if you gave money to Chesani's defense fund. We've waited a long time for this. We have to wait now until Friday at 10 a.m. to see if the rats in the media and Jack Murtha will continue to persecute him. Until then, thank God.
Savage.
Savage.
Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage. You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
You know, people are trying to silence Michael Savage. That's me. I need your help. It's a big battle, a legal battle. The opposition has unlimited funds. I don't. Will you please go to michaelsavage.com, contribute $5, $10, $1,000, $10,000. You'll notice that you can contribute to the Legal Defense Fund under a new address. The mail goes to the Michael Savage, that's if a check, a money order, cash. Michael Savage Legal Fund, 4 Embarcadero Center, 39th floor, San Francisco 94111. Thank you for helping protect freedom of speech. Michael Savage Legal Fund, 4 Embarcadero Center, 39th floor, San Francisco 94111. And God bless you for helping protect freedom of speech. You know what? I'm going to open it up to anything. Give me some rock and roll. Let's do. Do you have The Great Pretender by The Platters? I heard it the other night. I really loved it over the weekend. I was in a very sad, depressed mood. I was alone. I go into these moods in and out. I admit it. I'm not ashamed of it. You know, it gets back to something. You got it. Look at that. Oh, the bouncing Prozac pill. Follow it along the bottom of the radio speaker. The bouncing Prozac pill.
I pretend too much. I'm lonely, but no one can tell. Oh, yes, I'm the great pretender.
Ooh.
Adrift in a world of my own. I play the game, but to my real shame, you've left me to dream all alone. To real is
the great song, actually, to be honest with you. Anyway, turn it on. It's my own thing, but. So I'm getting into one of those moods, and I decide to have a couple of drinks by myself, which I did, and I had a couple of drinks, and the mood went away. But the thing I'm telling you is that life sucks, and once you accept that life sucks, it becomes easier to deal with. And that's why there's so much weakness in America, is because we're deluded into thinking that we're supposed to be happy, and everyone else is happy, and you're the only one who's feeling lonely, or you're feeling life's burdens and no one else, and you look at the ads every minute, there's a ha-ha and a ho-ho and a hee and it, and the media continuously drives this concept that everyone else is having a great time except you. You're the only one having a miserable time. But in fact, this is what life is. And a lot of it is the fact that you were raised, if you're a person under 45, you were probably raised in a Spockian, nightmare where you were told that life is pleasant, life is easy, life is good. And maybe it is for you. Maybe you're a lucky person. You'd be the exception. You're not the norm. For most people, life is a grind, life is a bore, and life is difficult, and life sucks. And there is no happiness. Happiness is fleeting. Happiness is transient. Happiness exists here and there. You have moments of happiness, whatever they may be for you. I don't know what they are. The birth of a child, the wedding of your daughter. I don't know what walking your child, seeing the kid in the graduation hat. Whatever it is, I don't know, getting a promotion, seeing a book published. There are small moments, but basically it's a flat line of difficulty for the average person. Then you get sick and you suffer, and then you die a horrible death, usually alone in a home or in a hospital. And once you accept that that's the terms, that's the deal, that's it. It isn't that bad when you realize what people have suffered through the ages. So what you have to do is toughen yourself up, and you have to learn that life is not the delusion that if only there was another elected official out there who gave you free medical care, we gave you prescription drugs, you'd be happy if you had prescription drugs. If only you had more prescription drugs, more crutches from the government, then you'd be happy. And you got to pray a lot. I mean, you got to go back to the holy books that your fathers or grandfathers, you're only probably, no matter who you are, Let's say your hair is green and you got 18 nose rings and nipple rings and this ring and that ring, and you're running around in L.A. twinkling around thinking you're free, you're free, you're free. I don't hear freedom. I hear slavery. The more I hear those rings rattle, the more I know you're a slave. You're probably only two generations at most away from a very religious person in your family. Max, two generations. The most. Someone who actually believed in the word of God and went to church or synagogue. And you may find that that, you know, is the way to go. You know, there are. What I found is that there's no single way to go in my own case. It doesn't work for you. It works for me. You got to do an awful lot of different things. Exercise, vitamins, eat right. Know how to control yourself. Know where to get your pleasure. Know where not to get your pleasure. You got to pray. You got to believe in God. You know, everything is part of the whole. There's no single path for the modern man. There's no simple solution for it all. In other words, you just got to deal with life's burdens. Or else, what are you going to do? What are you going to kill yourself? So the government keeps promising you stuff they can't deliver in order to hypnotize you, like Obama and Hillary and Edwards. All they would do was hypnotizing the schmuck out there that George Bush is mean, the Republicans are evil, and if they're elected, they're going to make you happier because they're going to give you free prescription drugs. Well, okay, buddy, you believe in Santa Claus, you can believe in Obama or Hillary Clinton. So it is related to politics, what I'm saying to you. We're living in a delusional nation. Everything is fantasy. We all watch too much TV, too many movies. I myself do. I admit it. I don't know how much of what how many movies I've watched. If I could redo one thing in my life, I would never have watched movies or television in my life. I can't imagine life without it. I've been brainwashed since I'm a child. Remember, I'm born in the television age. Would you believe I go back to a time before there was television? Can you believe that? That's amazing. But I remember living in a time when there was no television in a house. There was only a radio. And we would sit around and listen to the radio. I'd lie on my father's lap. He'd smoke Philip Morris, God rest his soul. And we'd listen to shows like The Green Hornet and whatever. And you had to use your imagination. When you listen to radio as a child, this is why I'm so talented in radio. Because I grew up on radio. Don't you understand there's a difference? It's not that there are people who are younger than me who can't do radio, but my father used to explain to me that radio was actually a better medium. He used to say to me, I like radio better. I said, why, Dad? Because you have to. He used to say to me, because you have to use your imagination. I said, oh, okay. So he taught me how to use my imagination. Not that it was too hard for me to do so. There was so much tragedy in my youth that I learned to live in a fantasy world. I created my own fantasy world in order to overcome the tragedy of my childhood. But that's good. That is good. That's what the creative people do. They create with their sadness. They create with their misery. They don't succumb to a drug. Don't you understand that? That when you suppress sadness, when you suppress loneliness, when you keep suppressing these things with drugs, you're killing yourself. It's a small death. It's a petite mort. You know what I'm saying? Le petite mort. But it's not even the pleasure of the petite mort. Play the Green Hornet for the audience. They don't know what I'm talking about.
He hunts the biggest of all games. Public enemies who try to destroy our America.
I turned it off. This is horrible. Bad radio. What is this now? 1-800-449. Jesse Jackson warns of harm to parties. Look who's talking. A real halo. This just came out on Judge. Jesse Jackson warns of irreparable harm to party. Here's a guy who wrecked the Democrat Party with his racial divide and hatred and his bunko, him and the other one. Him and the other one with the white collar. No one knows where he went to divinity school. Jesse High Jackson. The Democrats. He's advising them how to run the party now. Oh, great. 1-800-419-8255. MichaelSavage.com. What do you want to talk about? Many of you don't know how to raise children. You need me to tell you. You do. Many of you don't have a parent. You don't have a father. You don't have an uncle. You have no one to rely upon. And you don't know what to do. You don't know how to turn. And I'm telling you that this coddling stuff, I'm not saying hit your kid. Don't get me wrong. I'm not giving you that advice. But you got to teach your child reality. And you got to teach your child that life is not a bowl of cherries. You got to teach them that life needs to be hard, that life is hard. Life is going to leave you alone a lot. You got to teach your child to be alone a lot. Did you know that? You know, you got to teach your child how to be alone a lot in order to be alone a lot, because he's going to be alone a lot when he grows up. Did you hear what I just said? We don't live in a commune. He's not going to live in Ding Dong School the rest of his life. Teach your child how to be alone. I remember when my first child was a baby. I didn't know how to raise an infant, so I turned to various cultures for advice. I mean, I was an anthropologist at the time, and I was immersing myself in Native American, everything I could read on the on tribal lore. I read South Pacific, this and that. But one of the things I read was how the Native Americans, some of the tribes, raised their young sons to be tough, basically. And when the young baby, if it was a boy baby, started to cry, they'd wrap the baby in a papoose and then put the papoose out on a tree outside the teepee until the baby screamed and cried till he didn't scream anymore. I read that. Now, of course, today the Child Protective Service is the ones who will not go to the home of a talk show host who imagined doing his own daughter and his son's friends, allegedly. The same CPS run by the hippopotamuses in Child Protective Services, the mean-faced, clipped-haired hippos who run these agencies, would, of course, arrest a Native American who did that today. But it was a pretty good idea. In other words, a child will cry and cry and cry till there's no crying left. And guess what? Then the child becomes hardened. He's harder as a result. Oh, he doesn't feel as much as you want him to feel? Oh, he doesn't know, he doesn't feel like you want him to feel? You want him to be a feeling man? You want him to be a metrosexual son? Maybe you don't want him to be a metrosexual son. Maybe if you raised your son a little bit more like that, and then you watched a few shows on the Spetsnaz training for the Russian Special Forces and see how tough these guys are compared to even our toughest of tough. In other words, what they do in the Special Forces in Russia to train their men, you couldn't do here in America. They consider what the Russian Special Forces do to each other makes waterboarding look like a picnic on Sunday. But don't tell that to Obama. What they do to each other in training, they punch each other in the nose. There are no teeth guards. There are no nose guards. They beat each other up. And if the guy can't handle it, they throw him out of the Russian Special Forces. Here, right away, Obama would break down the Marine training or the Special Forces training, saying it's a little too rough. Okay? Now you understand where we're at? When we have Marines who actually are trained to hunt and kill and go out and hunt and kill like they've been trained to do as kids, and that's why they're tough enough to go into the U.S. Marines, and they do the job they were trained to do, what happens? Some puke wearing a uniform who's really a lawyer who's too stupid to get a job in civilian life goes after the kid who does his job. That's where I'm concerned about my country.
Savage.
Allie, in Salt Lake City, go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, I'm a Muslim and I'm a Iranian, and I almost every night go to your site and I get the best news and articles because I cannot find them any other places, and I support you 100%.
Well, Ali, all I could say is I am so thankful, and if other Americans of any religion or atheists, I don't really care what the background is, would do the same over the next few weeks, we might just be able to save this this situation, and we might be able to expose this front group. Ali, thanks. You know, it's very encouraging to hear that.
Yeah. You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show. To an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
Well, let's say you're subject to depression. Anyone with a brain is, incidentally. Anyone who can think and feel is subject to depression. Hey, hello, secret. Secret to everyone out there. Anybody who can think and feel and actually knows what's going on in America and the world gets depressed from time to time. But anybody, so, geez, why am I depressed? Just look around. Take a look at Dennis Kucinich, Chris Dodd, Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, and you'll know why you're depressed. Take a look at George Bush. Take a look at what's going on around the world, and you have a good reason to understand why you're agitated and depressed. But the fact of the matter is, it's been part of the human condition from the beginning of time. People have always gotten depressed, but they found ways around it other than going to some whack job who put him on an antidepressant, you know, so they could wind up, you know, going on a rampage in a mall 3 years later after bottling up all of their emotions when the Prozac wore off or whatever. You mark my words. You want to mark this one down? Mark this one down. In your lifetime, Prozac-like compounds will be banned because of the violent reactions that often, that too often occur in users of these compounds. You mark my words. The day will come that the medico-pharmaceutical landscape will change, where they'll no longer have a grip over our government to the extent that they do, and people will finally understand that virtually every school shooting was conducted by a kid who was put on these drugs, either Ritalin first and then this stuff later on in life, to deal with the anxiety that had been induced by the Ritalin, and that eventually their violence was a direct side effect of these drugs. You mark my words, this drug will be seen, this class of drugs will eventually be outlawed because of the subpopulation in which it induces violence. And it's a quite a large subpopulation, or suicide, by the way. There's a whole spate of suicides and homicides being committed by Prozac takers. Say, oh, he's crazy. I'm crazy. You wait and see how crazy I am. I guarantee you this drug will become, it'll become one of the, it'll be like, what's that drug? It'll be the thalidomide of the mind. This class of drugs will be determined to be the thalidomide of the mind. Another new phrase for you for 2008. This class of drugs will be seen as producing freakish, freakish results in people. So what I was getting at is there are natural ways to deal with these, with anxiety, for example. A lot of people suffer anxiety. Anxiety is part of the human condition as well. It's not an abnormal phenomenon. It's not unique to you if you feel you're anxious. You don't need to reach for a pill. Why do you think so many people are running in the morning and are running around reservoirs and exhausting themselves? They also feel these things. They also have frustrations and fears and anxieties and feelings of dread or running of the mind. You know, the Darwin himself suffered from a condition that today is being treated as a medical condition. It never was a medical condition. I think he called it running headedness, where his thoughts, he couldn't control his thoughts, and they ran on and on and on. I have it all the time. That's where creativity is a fountain. It's like a bubbling fountain. You don't bottle it up with a whack job putting you on a drug. Is because of the drug nation. We have Bush as a president. We have global warming as an idea that was even would even be accepted for a nanosecond from a shyster like Gore. And we have a slate of candidates, all of whom make you want to puke. I'll be right back.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
Savage.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
Now, I want to move on to a different topic. There was a great article in the New York Times yesterday, in the Sunday Times, called The Falling Down Professions. And it's about doctors and lawyers who wish they were not. It says that about a fifth of the associates in large law firms in any given year drop out of large law firms, and 20% of lawyers overall will suffer depression at some point in their careers. It says as of 2006, nearly 60% of doctors polled by the American College of Physician executives said they had considered getting out of medicine because of low morale in doctors now, and nearly 70% knew someone who already had left medicine. A lot of them don't like medicine anymore because they've been turned into paper pushers. Law and medicine, we read, have always been very demanding, but they were prestigious in the past. They made good money. They had authority. They were perched atop the other professions. Everybody thought being a doctor or a lawyer was the greatest thing to be. But we realize today that they've lost their allure and their status, and it is not about money. They say that the pay is still good, people know that. But they say something is missing, say many doctors, lawyers, and career experts, and that is the old sense of purpose, of respect, of living at the center of American society, and in essence, embodying its definition of what is success, that is being a doctor or a lawyer. So what is going on is multifaceted as to why people are feeling these things. In fact, applications to law schools and medical schools have declined from recent highs. The number of law school applicants dropped from 98,000 in 2004 to 83,000 in 2006. And that was on top of a 5% slip the year before. How about medical schools. Remember how hard it used to be to get into a medical school? In 97, there were 46,000 applicants. It's now 42,000. So what are youngsters who are intelligent doing now? Well, I guess they all want to be a web designer or something like that. Some still go into these fields because of the higher calling of the profession of being a doctor or a lawyer, and they don't care about the social cachet. They care about doing you know, good for society. But for a brief segment right now, are there any doctors or lawyers out there who wish they were not? Or are there any former doctors or lawyers who left their professions and went into something else? If you care to call us at 1-800-449-8255, you can do so. And I'm doing this because I want young people to see if they can learn something from your call. Would you recommend that they do become a lawyer or a doctor? Now, let's start with money. Money is what we're all interested in. Do you know that associates at major New York law firms start at $150,000 to $180,000 a year? That's right, out of law school. Partners at the country's biggest 100 firms took home an average of $1.2 million in 06. Now, that's paltry compared to talk show hosts, but nevertheless, it's a lot for the professions other than the media. So outside of the media, they're making very good money. Many senior investment bankers, through bonuses and salaries, will average $2.25 million to $2.75 million. Doctors, whether you know it or not, vary in income tremendously. A typical physician might earn $150,000 to $300,000. A surgeon, $250,000 to $400,000. A top surgeon can earn $750,000 a year, and a superstar surgeon, $1 million or more a year. That's not really a lot of money for the kind of skill set that they have when you think about that. But something is going on. Things are going on. And what is it that's going on? Well, I don't really know what's going on. I have a feeling it's because of the control that the doctors and lawyers have lost. The lawyers have lost control of their lives in terms of the hours they have to put in. The doctors have lost control to the HMOs who make them, you know, call up a clerk to get permission to assign a wheelchair to a person with a muscular dystrophy. The doctors are also very upset with men like John Edwards, the biggest fraud in the history of the election I've ever seen, a man who built his fortune through lawsuits based upon fraudulent documentation and moronic audiences in the Ozarks. I don't know how he gets away with this. I know how. He's got idiots in the media who won't challenge him and say, look, Mr. Edwards, you say you're for change and you're an independent, but you're a crook, basically. You're a crooked lawyer who made all of his money lying to dumb juries without teeth in the Ozarks. You told him that a person that was born with a congenital disease was made this way by a doctor's mistake, Mr. Edwards. Aren't you ashamed of yourself? John Edwards, have you no shame? Well, you see, I'm not in the major media in that sense, or I'd ask him those questions. Now, you know why Obama won't come on the show, or why Edwards won't come on the show, but aren't you shocked that Giuliani won't come on the show when he's desperate for votes and you are his audience? Aren't you shocked that Romney's idiots who run his campaign aren't smart enough to know that this is the gold mine, this is the mother lode of independent voters? Aren't you shocked that they don't know that? Or is it that they got something to hide and they're afraid of a little truth? So anyway, the question to you is the falling down professions of lawyers or doctors. These are not my opinions. I have nothing against lawyers or doctors per se. It was a great article in the New York Times that I thought was worthy of airing on the Savage Nation today. And I'm asking you, if you're a doctor or a lawyer who wishes you were not, why not? Or what would you say to a youngster? Would you recommend that they become a doctor or a lawyer? Let's begin in the land of lawyers in New York City on WOR. Tom, welcome. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Michael. How are you?
Good.
Been a lawyer for about 8 years now, graduated from a law school in New York, was born and raised in New York, and my advice to a youngster who was in college or prior to college determining whether or not they'd like to be a lawyer, my advice to them would be to go a different route. And it boils down, in my opinion, to or my experience, I should say, is it's not what I thought it was going to be when I entered college and entered law school. The money is good. I'd rather not say where I'm employed, but I do work.
No, I understand. Well, what is it about law that grates you, makes you depressed, frankly? It just doesn't make you happy.
Well, quite frankly, I'm a litigator, and I specialize in commercial litigation as well as plaintiffs' personal injury work, which you routinely call slip and fall lawyers.
All right, whatever. Forget what I say in my characterizations. You know, we all use lawyers whether we like them or not. But the fact of the matter is there's something in the profession you don't like, and what is it?
It's just a game. It's just a big game. It's whoever has the best poker face wins, especially with personal injury litigation. It's not what you know, it's who you know.
All right, in other words, yeah, right. In other words, what system, like what judge system you're in or whatever. But, you know, I was shocked to read about 10 years ago that justice and law are not one and the same. In fact, justice has nothing to do with the law. That's fundamentally, you probably went in as a kid thinking that you were going to bring justice to issues, right?
I thought for certain I was going to do right by clients and remedy wrongs that were done to my clients. And at the end of the day, some clients are happy, other clients are not happy. And sometimes it's outside of my control. I do what I do.
In other words, cases get decided for reasons other than justice.
The time. Cases get decided sometimes because, you know, the judge and the attorney know each other very, very well. Cases get decided.
I once had an arbitration in New York City many, many years ago before I was in radio. I hired some shyster lawyer in New York. Cost me a lot of money, which I really had to scrape together. And during the break, I happened to be in the stall in the bathroom, and the lawyer I hired didn't know I was in there. You know what's coming, don't you? He went in the bathroom. I overheard him talking to the opposing attorney, and they worked a deal out on my behalf. Can you believe this? Isn't that what you're talking about?
Yes, I can believe that because it happened.
I was in an arbitration against a corrupt vitamin company from Long Island at the time. They should be visited upon the fifth generation, the crooks that they were. Thanks for the call. Dallas, Texas. John, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Dr. Savage. I'm a board-certified anesthesiologist in the Metroplex, and I have a lot of problems with my profession.
Well, wait. Now, first of all, anesthesiologists are at the top of their profession in terms of earnings. Isn't that still true?
It is true.
So what does an anesthesiologist earn in dollars, and not what you make, but generally, what's the approximate income?
$300,000 to $350,000 a year.
But what is the problem that you have with your specialty, or is it with the field of medicine in general?
Well, first about my specialty, I have unqualified nurses who try to legislate that they can do the same job as I can. I have government regulations which every day put more separation between me and my patient's relationship, to deal with socialistic colleagues who want to usher in an era of Obama politics, which will destroy
yeah.
our medicine.
So in other words, you're saying you're no longer a doctor. In essence, they're turning you into something less than the doctor in the room, the bureaucrat. It's very much like a soft communism. That's what you're really saying, because when Mao Zedong took over China, he took the surgeons out of the surgery. He put them in the laundry room if he didn't shoot them, and he took untrained laundresses and put them in the surgery, and he said, you do the surgery. And if they said they couldn't, he said, you're a counter-revolutionary, and he had them shot. That's more or less what's happening in America, isn't it?
That's exactly what's happening with these nurses. And furthermore, what's happening is we have the socialized government using the mid-level professionals to try to take out the doctors through class warfare and jealousy. They look up to us. They want to tear us down to regulations. They want to make everyone the lowest common denominator.
Isn't that terrible? It's awful. And, of course, the patient is at risk as a result of that, of using ignoramuses. You mean they're making decisions as to what kind of anesthesia to give and in what dose?
Now, nurse anesthetists work underneath anesthesiologists in a beautiful model, but some of them want to fight for independence when they are nowhere near as qualified.
And I get it. So the nurse practitioner now wants to become an anesthesiologist?
Basically, yes, sir.
Okay, and the HMOs would like that because they can pay them less than they pay you.
They would love it, and it's a perfect class warfare. Who wants to fight against nurses or when you have the big bad doctors to go against? It's really
terrible. Oh, my God. So it's the socialized medicine that's killing the medical field.
It is, and it's not about the money. I do really well. I want to be one-on-one with my patients. I don't want some joker from above or below telling me how to treat my patients. I want to be able to take my patient, treat them one-on-one, and have a close relationship. But because of the bureaucrats, I can't do that.
I hear you, my friend. Thanks. This is a very enlightening topic, but we're finding out that 60% of doctors polled said they had considered getting out of medicine because of low morale. Can you hear this? And lawyers in big firms, 20%, a fifth of them drop out of the law, legal profession. And it's not about money. It's about other things. So I'm just, for another few minutes, for young people who are listening who are trying to decide whether to be a doctor or a lawyer, an Indian chief, I've had lawyers or doctors call and explain what we're talking about here. Thus far, we heard one lawyer call who said that he's disenchanted because justice and the law are not one and the same. So if you're an idealist, don't go into the legal profession. And we just had a doctor who called who said that he doesn't have the authority to be the doctor he's trained to be. They're trying to give it to people with almost no training whatsoever to save money. Los Angeles, 8:30 on the dial. Jack, next up. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Mike. Great to talk to you. Great to talk to our radio host who actually has a few degrees there, just a different level of conversation.
Thank you.
Listeners as well. But I'm 28. I recently graduated from a top 25 law school, full scholarship. Advice that I would give to anybody who's considering going into law school is not necessarily to dissuade them from going to law school, but look at the percentages of those who decide to take that law degree and go into business and use it so that you can protect yourself from all the damn avaricious other flipping attorneys that are going to come after you for
You mean to protect you from the John Edwards in the legal profession?
You need that. Oh, good Lord. Don't get me started on MedMal, Mike. That's it's a disgrace.
I don't understand how this issue of his having made his fortune through fraudulent claims has never come up from the media. I can't understand that.
You're going to be hard-pressed to find any law school where idealism is anything other than pure socialism. You're either in it for the money, you're going for the very top law firms. I think the quality of life stinks per hour. You're not making that much for your first 2-3 years, quite frankly. And if you want to be an idealist and you're conservative, don't go to law school, my friend, unless you use that law degree to go into another area, which is exactly what I'm
doing. Wait, I want to pause right here because I think getting a law degree is actually a very good thing for mental training. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Definitely, definitely. I was.
I have a very wealthy friend who said to me that just getting a law degree, not necessarily passing the bar, is an excellent way to keep the mind sharp, exercise it. And if you're going to go into another field, having a law degree is always a good background for that reason alone, that you've trained your mind to be focused and logical.
No, it's a great way to train the mind, quite frankly. I went to a large public school here in Los Angeles, starts with a UC, and I was bored.
Well, hail, I went to UC Berkeley, so I'm a proud graduate of one of the greatest university systems in the world, and it certainly was when I went there many years ago. I can't say it has collapsed completely. It's still probably pretty good.
Yeah, no, I went there for undergrad, and quite frankly, it wasn't that difficult. I was really taken aback in my undergraduate training, but the legal training is something completely different. I would definitely recommend for any youngsters to go, but with the qualification that if you really do want to practice law, understand exactly what it is that you're doing. That's why you have so many people who ultimately decide they're going to become professors. Anybody with a whit of sense for quality of life, the hours stink, Mike. It's horrible.
Yeah.
I would never.
What is it? 80 hours a week is pretty standard, or more for a young law graduate.
Yeah, well, hey, if you don't come in on Saturday, don't bother coming in on Sunday, quite frankly. And at the end of the day, though,
you know. But wait, let me pause there. You know, Jack, I learned from business people many years ago, everyone in business works 6 days a week today. Anyone who really runs their own business is working 24/7 one way or the other. They're rarely off. If you're running your own business, you're never off. So I don't think that's the issue. I think it's the type of hours that you're putting in where you're running a clock all the time. That can get to you, right?
No, for those that are beginning in large law firms, which are roughly, it's the top third of a class, and I would say the top 25 or so law schools for your large markets, California, New York. You're doing strictly research to a great extent. All that research is going to go to benefit somebody else. They're going to take credit for it, and you're pretty much out
all
of
right.
Life.
Well, it's like an assistant professor or a graduate student with a PhD who does the research for the professor who takes all the laurels. There's nothing new in that. It also sharpens your mind in the first few years, but it's a question of, are people prepared for that kind of system? I don't know. So we've talked a little bit about law and medicine, and yet nobody, you want to go back to politics? Let's go back to Edwards. How does a man get away with this crime? It's right out of Balzac. Behind every great fortune, at least in France at the time, there was a great crime. Edward's fortune is built upon the great crime of lying to Ozark juries without teeth or without much between the ears. And yet not one idiot in the media will challenge him.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show. Savage. You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
Politicians are so full of crap. Here in San Francisco, for example, they banned plastic bags in supermarkets. They said it's bad for the environment because the plastic bags don't deteriorate or disintegrate. They sit in the landfill for thousands of years. They're very concerned about the environment in San Francisco, as I say. So now you have to have a paper bag when you leave a grocery store. And if you're walking out in the rain, it doesn't matter to the city of transsexuals who run the city. The paper bag, of course, disintegrates in the rain and your groceries get wet. The plastic was much better and much more convenient. But let's take it on the face of it. So plastic is not biodegradable, right? Then how come they distribute condoms in San Francisco like M&Ms? Isn't that made of a plastic? You're telling me that the condoms that are so popular with the city transsexuals don't sit in landfills for 20,000 years? You see the hypocrisy and stupidity? Or they tell us that the salmon population is dying out, that the salmon here we're supposed to worry about, that the salmon are not breeding. We don't read that the people are not breeding, only that the salmon are not breeding. So now they're going to spend hundreds of millions of dollars. Record low number of salmon reaching Central Valley could mean severe fishing restrictions. And they try to analyze why the spawning, the number of salmon that are spawning, has decreased. Nobody will say that perhaps the toxic garbage that is dumped offshore in San Francisco is poisoning the oceans.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show. Savage.